Thank you for joining us today with Cindy Sherwood's podcast, Words for the Journey.
I frequently get questions from people who have taken Healing Journey regarding how they can apply the material and tools to children. Some parents have even taken the initiative to translate, so to speak, the principles to their kids and teach them right from the adult's manual. I remember one woman who took foster children into her home after experiencing the class herself, started doing weekly Bible study with the kids, bringing it down to their level. She reported exciting results. That's because God's principles work for anyone, any age. In the early days of this ministry, the question I received more than any other was this: when are you going to create Healing Journey for men? We finally crossed that bridge in 2014. Just in the nick of time, I feared I might have been tarred and feathered if we didn't get those materials out. Truly, everyone's enthusiasm for the Healing Journey class warms my soul. I'm encouraged that so many have found healing and freedom. However, even before we finished the men's project, another relentless question popped up. When are you going to create a Healing Journey version for teens? You are a passionate group of supporters, that's for sure. I have a folder with your impassioned pleas urging me to get it done. Well, guess what? In case you haven't heard, I am now in the process of creating this. Right now, I am writing the Healing Journey for teens. And I'm so excited. This is going to be a fabulous tool for teens to learn foundations of truth that will help them avoid costly mistakes, while at the same time, it will give them the same effective and proven tools adults use in the original version. So pray for me as I write this new curriculum, and pray for Liz Keck, my partner in CRIBE, who is an integral part of the project, creating the student manual and giving me valuable insights into the teen world. Don't ask me when it will be out. Feel free to ask God, though, and let me know if He tells you. Enough warm-up. Let's get to the meat of today's podcast, which is sharing the healing steps with children we love. So what are the things we need to teach our children? How can we help them navigate the healing road while they are still growing up? Guiding children in the healing principles when they are young is the prime opportunity because we have the chance to put the right foundations down before they adopt many of the false ones we did. Let's start with the two most important things people need, no matter their age: to know the truth and believe it about who God is, and secondly, to know and believe the truth about who they are, their true identity. This may sound simplistic, but the best thing is to just tell them. Say what is true, and then follow it up with Scripture. The difficulty here may be that you don't know the truth, or don't believe what the Bible says is true of God. You can't give what you don't have. So first it needs to be known and accepted by you. If you haven't been through Healing Journey, maybe that's the step to equip you to help your kids with their healing issues. Parents have the loudest voice in a child's life, so use it shamelessly for their benefit. One of the surprising things I learned when my kids became adults was that they heard every word I ever said. Suddenly, in their later 20s, they began parroting back things I'd told them years ago. What a surprise! Who knew? Why didn't someone tell me I didn't need to worry whether they were listening? If you are their parent, they are listening. That doesn't mean they are embracing it for themselves, but they hear what you say. I know it's frustrating because they never give you an ounce of assurance that anything you say makes a difference, but trust me, truly, it does. But perhaps the kids you are trying to reach are not your children. Maybe it's your grandchildren. nieces or nephew, kids in your youth group or Sunday school class. You are still in a place of trusted influence. So what I'm saying here applies to you too. Kids are listening. But more than that, they're watching. Our life must line up with our words. Kids can spot a fraud a mile away. That's when kids stop trusting adults. If our actions contradict our words, kids learn to stop trusting people. So back to the most important thing you need to tell, share, teach, and model with children is the true character of God. God is faithful, true, right, just, present, merciful, gracious, trustworthy, kind, reliable, generous, caring, emotional, discerning, wise, knowledgeable, powerful, protecting, pure, holy, sovereign, good, and loving. Do the kids you care about know that? This is what they need to be taught. This is one of the foundations of their faith, the truth about God. And here's one reason why this is so important. God is our source for life and all things pertaining to life. When we need healing, He's the only one who can supply that. If we don't know God or don't know who He really is, we won't go to the source with our needs. That's when we turn to wrong and harmful things to meet our needs, or we turn to things that are at best lacking any power to help us. Children also need to be taught that God desires to bring these character traits into their life for their benefit. Here are just a few examples from my previous list. God is not only present, He's present with me and will never leave me. God is not only loving, He loves me and enjoys being with me. God is not only merciful, when I make a mistake, He has mercy for me every time. The second thing children need to learn and then accept is the truth about themselves. Every person is created by God, a good creation, wonderful, valuable, and precious. Our sinful choices never change that reality. And when adults or other kids harm them, that reality still isn't changed. Nothing ever changes their inherent value. They need the lens of self-love in order to receive love from God or from anyone. As long as they view themselves as lacking worth, they won't be able to receive love. And everyone needs to be loved in order to live a healthy life. Let me say that again. Children have to know they are lovable, that they are worth loving before they can receive your love or God's love. When I say self-love, I am not saying self-centeredness. I am saying an acceptance of our core value. Kids get that by being loved, no other way. Teaching through words will only go so far on this one. If parents or other significant adults are not treating them with love and respect, valuing their hearts and minds, they will likely not believe any truthful teaching. They need to both know and experience love and respect. We have to treat kids the way we want them to treat themselves. And of course, we need to model this in our own lives too. I want to offer a word of grace before we go any further. No parent, no adult does any of this perfectly. Perfection is not required. We all mess up, but if we're humble and honest about our mistakes, and if we take action to correct our mistakes, we will still transmit a positive message to kids. There's grace for you. One simple thing we can do is to never tell a child he or she is bad. We are never bad in the essence of our being. We do bad things, we make mistakes, but we aren't bad. We are never defined by our less than good choices. Teaching this to children paves the way for confession, forgiveness, and healing. Grace is an essential message that needs to be communicated to children. And if you are typical, you struggle to believe God is grace for you. You really don't believe it. So back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast, you need to work these things into your own life before you can help the kids you love receive them. So the first half of what we need to give to children is both the truthful foundation and the experience of God's character, His desire to work in our life in every good way, and secondly, our inherent value and goodness. After that, we need to give kids tools. Because of the limitations of time, I'm going to distill this down to the two most important tools we all need. Tools to receive healing when we dishonor God's way, and tools to receive healing when we are harmed or our heart is broken by another person. When we go against God's word, when we sin, we need God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness is the remedy, the only remedy. And that forgiveness is accessed by simply telling God what we did and asking for His mercy. So simple, but so hard because we fight against our pride and we don't want to feel the shame of letting God down. And that's the reason we need to tell kids every day that God always receives them with grace. There are no exceptions to that. There is no sin so big God won't give us mercy for what we've done. It's an ironclad promise. What a tremendous gift you can give a child to walk them through this simple prayer. God, please forgive me for what I did. I'm sorry. If children will learn to use this most basic tool of our faith, instead of lying and hiding and acting out, it will pave the way for a lifetime of healthy living. Learning how to effectively get rid of their sin will help them feel confident in God's love for them and confident that they are still a good person, even if they made a bad choice. Taking our sin to God on a regular basis teaches kids and adults that they are responsible for their actions. It teaches them to live victoriously and not as a victim. It gives them a tool to get rid of their offenses against God and other people rather than hang on to them for the rest of their life, like so many of us have done. And as soon as kids finish the prayer of confession, always invite them to say out loud, "I have received God's mercy." Too many people skip this step. They go so far as to take it to God. But when He's forgiven them, they don't accept His mercy. They reject His mercy and take back their shame. Now for the second tool, forgiveness. This one has a few more layers to it. The starting place when something painful has happened to us is to be able to share our honest feelings without being judged. The healthiest thing we can do for children when they're going through something painful is to invite them to share their feelings and then respect their feelings. It is a huge mistake to try and change their feelings or tell them not to feel that way. Feelings need to be validated. Some time ago, I had a friend who was married to a man who was mentally ill, and they had a son together. It was a tough situation. I felt so much compassion for my friend living with this day in and day out. It was so hard. When their son became a teen, he rejected his father. He was angry and began acting out, very understandably. His mother's response, though, was to tell him not to feel that way about his father. She tried to explain how he couldn't help being mentally ill, and that he really did love him. Well-meaning words, all true words, but not what her son needed. The underlying message was your father's the only important one in the family. It doesn't matter that this is causing you pain. Your feelings aren't important, so just stuff it inside and try to act like everything is okay. Children need to have their feelings validated. One of the most important tools of healing is identifying and expressing the feelings we have about our situation. Feelings should never be judged. Feelings are always honest expressions about what is going on inside us. You can be a gift to a child simply by asking how they are feeling and then listening intently to their heart without judgment. Then when children are ready and it has to be in their time, not yours, invite them to forgive their offender. Another simple step. All that is required is to tell God they forgive the person who hurt them. Then ask God to heal those painful feelings that were created in the incident. Then surrender their offender to God and ask Him to work in their life and bless them. For my friend's son, it might go like this. Lord, I forgive my father for being so mean, difficult, and unreliable in my life. His actions have left me feeling abandoned, rejected, and bitter toward him. Please heal my broken heart. I surrender my father and his mental illness to you. Please work in his life and bless him. Amen. This is what will set him free and help him live free and healthy. Then one more thing. He needs to grieve what he's lost. This is the most often missed part in the healing process, grieving what we've lost. A simple acknowledgement by his mother would set the tone for him, something like this. Honey, you've missed out on so much because of your father's mental illness. I'm proud of you for giving this to God. It's understandable you'd feel angry and disappointed. You've lost a lot. What are some of the things you don't have in your relationship with your dad that you wish you had? It is likely your son would begin crying at that point. That's usually what happens when we get down to the bottom. Our deep sorrow comes out. Her son needs to cry buckets of tears. His mother cannot fix the circumstances. She cannot make her husband mentally healthy. This is true for all the hurts of the children we love. We cannot change what happened. However, if we will share these simple truths and healing steps with them, we can be part of an amazing gift to them, the ability to go forward whole and healed. Don't we all wish someone did that for us when we were young?
Thank you for listening to Cindy Sherwood's podcast. Visit us on the web at hishealinglight.org to learn more about our ministry. Please consider rating us on iTunes or your other favorite music app. God's best to you today.